A reading from the book of Psalms. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide, creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. A reading from the Acts of Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a loud sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from each nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. We were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken, though, to Prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show portents in the heavens and in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the counting of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. May the living word of God speak to us through these ancient words of Scripture."
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each heart here be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Recently, I attended my niece Elizabeth's high school senior ceremony. It was not her actual graduation, which is not until June the 6th, but she goes to a science, technology, engineering, and math STEM school, and the students come from 8 different county high schools. Now, at the ceremony, the principal was very clear to stress repeatedly to the students that this ceremony was not graduation, since they have several more weeks of school left to complete. But they all wore their caps and gowns and their honor cords, so other than switching their tassels from one side to the other and saying that they had graduated, it pretty much seemed like a graduation. It was even 2 hours long and filled with speeches and music and a celebratory video. My niece's class is the first one to graduate after being together for 4 years. Since before that, this high school only was 2 years and you had to apply at the end of your sophomore year. So this being together for 4 years was also being celebrated. All in all, I have to say, it certainly felt like a graduation. Now afterwards, I was speaking to several of her friends about their future plans. And they're all heading to college and they're all really excited and nervous and quite not sure what the future will hold. Although many of them were pretty sure that after 4 years at a STEM high school, that college was gonna be a piece of cake. And I smiled at them and I didn't say anything other than, well, it might be harder than you think and it will be a lot different from high school. And they smiled back, pretty sure this old person didn't know what she was talking about, that they will know how it will be. But with that touch of nervousness, which conveyed that while they were trying to act confident, they were not really sure what the next chapter of their lives will really be like, including my niece. Graduation day, or a day when life changes and new directions open up, when you see where you are and wonder what lies ahead. But what you have to do is take the next step, even though it might be the scariest thing that you've ever had to do. But it might also be the most rewarding, or as Dr. Seuss once said, oh, the places you'll go. We've all had them. Sometimes many in the same week. The turn in the road, the new door, the shut door, and the open window. And this was the situation that was facing the disciples in the scripture from Acts that Haley very bravely read for us. All those names, sorry. They too were, in a sense, having a sort of graduation day. One day where a door was opening just as another one was closing. A day when everything changed for them, for the early church, and in a sense, for us. It was a day that was long in coming, a day when the next part of the plan would begin. After 40 days of teaching them, Jesus ascended into heaven, and they were now facing the future without Jesus' day-to-day personal teaching, walking among them, reassuring them, teaching them all that they would need to know. Now it was up to them. It must have felt empty without him by their side. And they were secure that Jesus was with them as he said he would be, but still what lay ahead was full of unknowns. They may have thought they knew what lay ahead, but often it was nothing like what they expected. Of course, they didn't think of it as a graduation day or a door closing. They knew it was the next phase in their faith lives as followers of Jesus. Something was beginning, something big. And while they were not being handed a diploma or even a map of what was to come, they were given instructions by Jesus to go out and make disciples of all nations. But how to do that? So they started to make plans. But first, they were told by Jesus to wait. What? They must have said, wait? Seriously, you want us to wait? They're ready to get out there and get going and do what they were asked to do, but no. They were told to wait. The Comforter, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit is coming. And before you can go out and do what you've been told to do, you need to wait for it to appear. They wondered how they would know when this would happen. When would they be ready? So they waited. You know, sometimes before we tackle a project or take the next step or head out the door, we need to gather the needed information. And so it was for them. And then, with a mighty rush of wind, a new door sprang open in a dramatic fashion. The disciples were gathered all in one place, making plans and talking and waiting. And suddenly a wind came and blew around the room, a wind like they had never felt before. It almost seemed alive. And then there were flames like tongues of fire over each head, men and women and children, young and old. The Holy Spirit touched the heart of each one there, and in that moment, they were transformed. The power of the Holy Spirit allowed them to speak to everyone that they met, and they raced from the room where they had been and out into the streets of Jerusalem. They were able to speak to everyone present. Everyone they met, no matter what part of the Roman Empire they were from, understood what what they were saying. And there were lots of people from all over the Roman Empire there on pilgrimage to Jerusalem because it was the Jewish festival of Pentecost. And God was doing a new and wonderful thing in the world. And instead of being afraid to answer God's call for them to act, they embraced it. And the church was born. And it was an amazing moment, and why we celebrate Pentecost as the birthday of the church. And it came into being in one incredible moment, because so many heard that day and believed, because God gave them the power to speak those words and to be understood. And it's when it all came into being. However, I have to say that the people that they encountered in the streets of Jerusalem were not in Jerusalem because they thought the Holy Spirit might be coming to town that day. The pilgrims were there because, as I said, Pentecost was originally a Jewish harvest festival. And it fell 50 days after Passover, when the first fruits of your harvest would be taken to the temple as a temple sacrifice and in thanksgiving. And it was also when they celebrated the law being given to Moses on Mount Sinai. So the town was packed with people who spoke a myriad of languages. And suddenly, here was a group of people that could be understood by them all. And it reminds us of another story about language in the Bible, but one where doors were shut and not open, where the people were transformed, but not in the way that they had perhaps hoped for. The Tower of Babel, the famous tower from the book of Genesis, chapter 11. At that point, we're told in Genesis that all of the humans spoke the same language and each could understand each other. So they decided to build a huge tower to reach to God, with the idea that God would then come down and be among them. That when that happened, they too would be like God. They'd be able to climb to the top of this tower and look over the entire earth and rule it. They wouldn't really need God then, as they would have God's power. Or so they thought as they built their tower. What they didn't realize was that God didn't need a tower to come among them. And God, who was watching all of this, did not think that this tower was a very good idea. So before they could complete the tower, God confused their language so that they could not understand each other. They no longer spoke the same languages. And not being able to communicate, they were no longer able to finish building their tower. Their desire for power for themselves had to be put aside, as they now had to figure out how to survive in a world that no longer made any sense at all. The story of Pentecost, then, is an anti-Babel story. The Tower of Babel is about the pulling apart of humanity, the separating of community. And Pentecost is about the bringing together of God's people. Instead of being separated by language, they were able to hear the good news for themselves. No translator needed. The people in Genesis saw an open door and wanted power, so they built a tower that would make them like God. The disciples saw Jesus ascend and knew that the next steps in the journey were up to them. They didn't want power. They wanted to serve. They didn't want to dictate, but to teach and heal and spread the gospel. And the disciples were transformed. They knew that the power that had transformed them was from God, and they celebrated it. They even appeared to be drunk with it. They allowed the power to transform them. They could not go back and unlearn all that they had. They could not go back from before the Holy Spirit came upon them. It changed them. It changed them in profound ways, taking them from a group of fishermen and tax collectors and others from what was considered to be the fringes of society, and making them a group strong enough to travel far, far out of their comfort zones, to face the trials and death they encountered, to speak to strangers, to teach, to heal, and more. You know, they wouldn't be welcome everywhere that they went, but they would go anyway. It was not a life that they had ever imagined, but it was a life that they were called to. They had slammed the door shut on that old life when they walked through the door that opened in front of them on Pentecost. School was out, that they had much to learn. Their teacher was gone, and now they were on their own, but they weren't on their own. The Holy Spirit was with them. And it can be scary, but they would not be alone. They wouldn't even be afraid when others were afraid for them. They could have stayed in that room where they were gathered when the fire of the Holy Spirit fell. They could have shrugged it off and looked at each other and said, well, you know what? That was pretty interesting what happened here just now. Wow. All right. Cool. All right. Well, you know what? I still think I'm going to stay in this room because it's a lot safer to stay in here. But they didn't. Sort of like when we graduate or an experience is complete. We know we have to take the next step, even if we're not sure that we're ready to do so. And we've all had those moments when one door closes and another one opens, when we are thrust into an unknown world, whether from graduating from school or changing jobs or just trying something new. So what does it mean to face the future without fear, but with faith? What does it mean that we know we can walk through that door still nervous, still a bit terrified of change, but knowing that we are not alone as we do so? Well, it can be a challenge. And like the disciples, we may want to run out into the world and immediately start doing, but sometimes walking through that door means waiting. Like the disciples, it is leaning into and trusting God's creative energy in the world is working through and in us. A door had closed. And a new one opened for the disciples, but they had to choose to walk through it. And so it is for us. We have to make that decision every day, even if we are not aware of it. We have to choose to live our faith in often complicated times. We have to choose to let God in even when we least expect it. So what are our moments? Do we seize them or stand in the threshold saying, I know what you are offering me, God, but I am scared and worried and frightened of even putting one little toe over that doorway jamb? What if I can't go back? What if I like it here where I am and I will fight you about the closing of that door? What if I can't see how it will change my life? What if, what if, what if? Sometimes embracing God's what ifs will transform us and those around us. And sometimes it all starts with the door. Josh Yant knows all about doors. Opening doors changed his life, literally. Josh was attending school in a very small town in Ontario, Canada, where he was being bullied every single day. His father had recently passed away, and Josh had put pictures of him inside his locker as a memorial to his father. But there were this group of kids in the school who were tormenting him every single day by pulling down those pictures and tearing them up in front of him. They had called him every name they could think of, and they made his life miserable. And he withdrew socially. And even when people tried to include him, he still felt like an outsider. And his mother, she was very, very concerned about her son being bullied. So she made a bold step. Before the next school year, they moved to a big city, also in Ontario, Canada. Now, she wasn't sure that this was going to help, but she wanted to give Josh a chance. And Josh decided that he wanted to do something different as well. He was tired of being bullied. As he said, I was sick and tired of being no one. I wanted to be someone. And I wanted to reach out to people and show who I was. Being nice should be the norm. It's not something I expected to stand out. So from the very first day that he started in his very new school, Josh began literally opening the door every day for all of his classmates. At first, they weren't sure what to think. Some of them even called him the doorman and thought it was a little bit strange. But then, slowly, they began to look forward to it. And as Josh says, the first few weeks when I started doing it, they were kind of shocked. Not many people hold doors open, right? But after that, people started to open up to me. Opening a door is more than a physical act. It's like putting yourself out there, getting to know people, making them feel comfortable, making them feel welcome. Opening doors, it gives people hope that people care. Well, it also changed Josh's life. You see, now he has more friends than he can count, and he was a recently elected prom king. And the students at his school also were changed by this act, because in his opening doors for them, they started to open doors for each other and be more caring and nurturing of each other. And they were so moved by how his act of opening doors changed them that recently they took a door and they signed the door and they gave him an actual door as a thank you to let him know how much he had changed their lives. And from being a shy and retiring and withdrawn young man, Josh has become a confident public speaker who now goes to local schools and organizations to talk about bullying and how opening doors changed his life. And in that way, he is also opening doors for other students. And there's a really cool video with him talking about his life on YouTube. So if you get a chance, go and see it. It's about Josh Yant. It's really cool. Josh was transformed because he took a chance. He not only opened doors, but he walked through them to do so. Sometimes we have to have the courage to be transformed by the open door in front of us. And sometimes we have to reach for it and open it, even when we're not sure if we'll be able to do it again or what it will mean for us. And sometimes we just have to go through on faith. It reminds me of this man who was very upset, and he went to see his doctor. "Doctor, you've got to help me," the man wailed. "What seems to be the trouble?" asked the doctor. "I keep having the same dream night after night. There's this door with a sign on it, and I push and I push and I push that door, but I just can't open it." "What does the sign say?" said the doctor. "Pull," said the patient. I know, right? The disciples didn't have to worry about signs. They were propelled out into the street by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they never looked back. They allowed themselves to be transformed by God in a way that changed them forever, changed their world, and gave birth to something that they could hope for but could barely imagine. They were an unlikely group, but the story of Pentecost reminds us how God works in and through us all, something the builders of the Tower of Babel forgot when they began building that monument to themselves, but probably remembered the rest of their days after they were scattered to the corners of the earth. It's something that Josh Yant knows deep in his heart, and even his mother cannot believe his transformation. It's more than she could have ever hoped for or prayed for. So, what is holding us back? What are the open doors that are beckoning to us? What are the ways that God longs to work in and through our lives, and we are the ones saying push instead of pull? Let us listen for the wind. Let us look for the flame. Let us wish the church happy birthday. But most of all, let us have the courage to walk through the doors that God is opening for us. Amen.